Karen Lehrer is on the show today. She is an abstract artist. She's a new Funk Zone resident. She's a longtime Santa Barbara resident. She's a former full-time therapist and owner of the cutest dog ever by the name of Stan. Karen Lehrer. Hi.
Hi, Ted.
Welcome to the Funk Zone podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks
this
for
is
having
exciting.
Me. You're surrounded by books right now and art and but not your art. This is where you're hanging stuff that you like here in
right.
this room.
I mean, there's one teeny one right behind you that was one of the very first ones I did that I liked in that style. But I have other work around the house.
Yeah. Your abstract style is almost like you had two paintings and you cut them up and you slid them together. Those slats. That's how I feel when I see you.
Interesting. I wish it was that easy to do.
It's not how it's done, right?
I've been an artist my entire life. I've always been doing art. And prior to that, I painted in a much more conceptual way. And that is a lot more heartbreaking.
Why?
And stressful.
Why do you say heartbreaking? How can art be heartbreaking?
Oh, it is. To me, it's a struggle. It's never easy. It's always a struggle. Yeah. Heartbreaking in that I would have an idea of what I wanted to create. Yeah. And then there is that juxtaposition between the concept and my limited abilities and the materials that you're working with.
It's, yeah.
And so there's this kind of in Jungian psychology, it would be called the transcendent function. It's where these two opposites kind of grind against each other, and you have to be able to tolerate that. When I was going to school, when I was going to art school, I used to do realistic stuff, but I realized that for my sensibility and the way my brain works, that if I wanted something to be realistic, it's easier for me to use a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not my trajectory, because I, as a student, as an art student, it got to the point where all of a sudden, you know, you have to figure out how you're going to make a living. And as you know, art people have a difficult time with that. And so I finally decided to channel it and go to fashion school, and I got into textile design. So you can see that my work has kind of a design element to it.
And almost like it's going to repeat, but not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. That's a good. And so I got into textile design at a time when you still painted with gouache and a brush and a ruling pin. You know, now it's all computerized.
Yeah.
And I actually taught at the Fashion Institute also. And I got into textiles, and I ended up working for a Fortune 500 company, and I ended up being a designer. I didn't know I was going to go that way, but I'm a design kind of person, so.
Well, I want to go back again, because like, when did you start making art? As your kid?
I always was an art kid.
Yeah.
I always did some kind of artwork, and I would say that I was not necessarily discouraged or encouraged by my family. I was going to Art Center on Saturday mornings while in high school with a couple of friends and do, you know, life drawing. And it was such a bohemian, amazing atmosphere.
So, okay, so you did that. Then
right.
Everything...
And then my life kind of went on an upswing.
Yeah.
So we ended up moving to Malibu. It was just a fluke how that happened. I had been painting at a studio in Venice with a guy named Marty Lubner, who's a pretty accomplished painter, and I think he taught at UCLA, and he was doing these private tutorials. So I painted in Venice and commuted from Malibu to Venice, and the whole part of the story that I'm not telling you is that I was in a really terrible auto accident when I was 19 years old.
Oh, yeah?
After all that happened, and I got kind of healed up from that about 3 or 4 months later, I realized something had happened to me that I didn't know. I saw the world very differently than I ever had before, and I didn't know what had happened to me. And coming from like a pretty atheist family, I had no reference model at all for anything other than objective reality. And so it took me on like a 9-year kind of search of just like going to the Bodhi Tree bookstore and kind of searching. I knew something happened, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know anything. And I finally read this book one day called Journeys Out of the Body by Robert Monroe. And it was like, whoa, that's what happened to me. So I'm pretty sure I had some kind of near-death experience, but I had never heard of that and I didn't know what it was. But I knew things were different in the way I perceived the world after that. And that was all during the time I was designing and going to New York all the time. It was sort of a concurrent personal thing I was doing. So when so flash forward to this Malibu period when I was painting in Venice, I just had this intuitive feeling. I kept feeling like there was like a butterfly in my peripheral vision that constantly was in my face about this accident. Like the accident was in my consciousness every day of my life. And this went on for a long time, from 19 all the way until I was in my late 30s or so. And I just couldn't get it out of my mind. It was just there all the time. And so I don't know, I kind of felt like I wanted to paint and paint with my whole arm and get my body into it. I didn't know whether to go back to UCLA and go to art school again, or two people in the same day told me about this guy, Martin Lubner, who had a tutorial painting studio in Venice. And so I just went over there and I figured he's the guy for me. So I was telling him what I wanted to do, and he kind of gave me technique and kind of taught me how to work with acrylic, because I had never really worked with acrylics before. And so I just kept telling him, I was kind of unconscious to what I was trying to accomplish, but I just knew I wanted to paint the illusion of depth, dimension, and space on a two-dimensional plane. And I didn't know how to do that. So he taught me how to work with the paint and that. And it's like, once I started, it was like I was just off and running, and this imagery just kind of like poured out of my body, just poured out of me.
Everything that was in the peripheral.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was in my unconscious. And so all those paintings have a very outer space look to them, very outer space looking. And I think after doing that, I realized that I was painting what happened to me in that car accident. Because after I had painted and painted, I mean, it was like 3 years of just painting with no stop. He even said to me one day, he goes, "You paint like a bat out of hell." He goes, "I've never seen anything like it." I was painting with two brushes and, you know, a hair dryer in one hand and the brush in the other. And I was painting big. I went like 6 foot, you know, eight foot canvases.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, I just couldn't get it out of me enough. But then after I painted and painted and painted, I realized that that whole butterfly off in my peripheral, it just sort of evaporated away. And so I think what happened was I was healing a nonverbal wound in a nonverbal way. And then the well kind of ran dry. It kind of finished itself off. And and my work became very earth-centered and kind of almost like in the ground, and using a lot of like soil and rocks, and it very earthy. And that was called the Earthworks series. So I have a lot of work from that whole period of time.
What year are we talking?
That was like 88 to about 91.
Oh, yeah.
In 2007, I get an Esalen catalog in the mail, and the image on the front of the catalog were these paintings. And I looked at these paintings, and I was like, I love this guy's work. I just loved his work. So sure enough, he was teaching a workshop.
Who was it?
Nicholas Wilton. So I just like, I got to take this class. So it was kind of getting me reactivated with painting. I hadn't been really painting for a while. And I went up to Esalen and I took this, I think it was like a 5-day workshop. It seemed like it went on forever. And it was the most, it was like an earth shattering, life changing experience for me, because the way he was teaching painting, it was absolutely opposite of anything I had ever done. And it actually hurt my brain. I would have to go back to the room and lay on the bed, and I could feel new neural pathways being carved into my brain, because it was so different than anything I had ever done before.
So how did he do it so differently? What was brain bending for you?
Well, as it turns out, I took two or three workshops from him over the years, and I went up, I would say this was in 2013. I hadn't painted for a while. You know, I kind of took classes with him on and off and really liked it and was painting here, but not really. I was doing more encaustics at my studio at the time. And I went up to Sausalito, where his studio is, and like just for like a 3-day workshop, just to kind of, you know, it's just good to do, grease the wheels, you know, grease the gears. And at Sunday at 4 o'clock, right as we're cleaning up our stuff and ready to leave, he's like, "Well, hey, you know, I'm really gonna think about doing this mentorship program." And he gives a little bit of information about it, and I was just, I couldn't get it out of my mind the whole time driving back to Santa Barbara. I called my husband up and he goes, "You've got to do this thing." So that was in 2013. The way Nick teaches people to paint is to just put paint on the surface And then you respond to what you already have there. Mm-hmm. And then you keep responding to it until there's no part of the painting. Well, this is my take on it.
Yeah.
There's no part that you dislike anymore. So pretty much that's the way I'm painting now. And so I learned, it was like getting an MFA. It was so, this mentorship was 9 months. It was so hard and so challenging. And I did every single thing he asked. Yeah. It was really difficult, but I gained a lot from it.
Yeah.
Just so happened that with my textile design background,
yeah,
my painting style is very similar to his anyway. I mm-hmm. mean, not like my paintings look like his, but it was very applicable to my personal style.
Mm. So how do you feel about the work you did previously to that when you look at it?
It has evolved. I learned principles and... I won't say techniques. Oh, yeah, technique. A lot of technique, principles, things. I mean, things I pretty much knew, but he has a completely different way of packaging it. The guy is he's a rock star, you know? He really is.
But where is your art now? How do you feel about your art currently?
I never know how anything is going to turn out.
Yeah.
At all. I have no preconceived idea of what anything is going to look like. And, it's always a surprise how it ends up. Hmm. And it's extremely challenging. I find painting to be one of the most challenging things ever. It's hard, it's difficult, it's challenging. And but what would life be if you're not challenged?